Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Pneumaticos. I am Dr. Josiah Rich, and today our discussion will be from Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50 is considered one of the servant songs. But before we get further into that, let me say that we live in an extraordinary time in which those who would impose dialectical values upon the body politic do not themselves abide by their dialectic. That is, we live in a time in which persons can speak or utter lies without conscience. It is an extraordinary time in which unconscionable actions and unconscionable lies are spoken with the most incredible hubris or pride and with no thought of accountability. It is incredible that we should live in such a time, but let me say at this point that such times were not unknown by the Word of God. God knew that such times would come. And so God has, through His grace, and let us be thankful this morning for the grace of God that He has left us a message, a timeless message, so that we do not grow weary under the lies of those who care little or nothing for us. Now, God has left us a word that Isaiah says, sustain, that is a sustaining word for those who are weary. God has left us a sustaining word for the exhausted ones. And so, it is important that we go back to the Word of God, and again, let me stress, the Word of God must not merely be read in a casual manner. The Word of God can never be read in a casual manner. The Word of God must be studied in great detail. If we are to receive its wonderful message. So with that, I'm going to read this morning from Isaiah chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. This is what the Lord says for Yahweh. Where is your mother's certificate of divorce with which I sent her away, or to which of my creditors did I sell you? Because of your sins, you were sold. Because of your transgressions, your mother was sent away. When I came, why was there no one? When I called, why was there no one to answer? Was my arm too short to ransom you? Do I lack the strength to rescue you? By a mere rebuke, I, dry up the sea. I turn the rivers into a desert. Their fish rot for lack of water and die of thirst. I clothe the sky with darkness and make sackcloth as covering. The sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. Isn't that beautiful? He awakens me morning by morning, awakens me, or rather awakens my ear to listen like one being taught. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting, because the sovereign Lord helps me. I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who then will bring charges against me? Let us face each other. Who is my accuser? Let him confront me. It is the sovereign Lord who helps me. Who is he that will condemn me? They will all wear out like a garment, reminiscent of Hebrews chapter 1, like moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the word of his servant? Let him who walks in the darkness, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. But now, all you who light fires and provide yourselves with flaming torches, go, walk in the light of your fires and of the torches you have set ablaze. This is what you shall receive from my hand. You will lie down in torment. Isaiah's ministry was concerned primarily with Judah and Jerusalem, chapter 1, verse 1, at a very crucial period of the nation's history, that is 739-700 B.C., which formed the background for his prophecy. Several of his most significant messages are directly related to the critical circumstances encountered by Judah in the second half of the 8th century B.C., such as the Syro-Ephraimitic War in 734 and the Sennacherib crisis of 701. His prophecies are by no means limited to Judah. However, as he pronounces judgment upon Babylon, Syria, and Egypt, as well as upon the surrounding nations or city-states, and occasionally upon Israel. The importance of the prophecy is indicated by the frequent quotations from it by the New Testament writers and by the Lord Jesus himself, or the Jesus. Besides numerous allusions and quotations where the prophet's name is not given, there are 21 quotations by name. The Jesus inaugurated his public ministry with a quotation from the prophet Isaiah, Luke 4:17 and following, and later referred to him in explaining the parable of the sower, Matthew 13:14. Isaiah has always been considered the greatest of the Hebrew prophets and is known as the evangelist of the Old Testament. There are two principal themes in the book, that is judgment, chapters 1 through 39, and then redemption, chapters 40 through 46. As chapter 1 is introduced, we have the first theme whereby the prophet denounces the corruption in Jerusalem and its impending judgment. Very interesting, the parallel between the corruption of Jerusalem in Isaiah's day as an 8th century prophet and the corruption that we experience in our time. Isaiah in chapter 40 announces the second message, that is the message of comfort after God's people had paid for their sinful ways. And beginning in chapter 40, there is a promise of redemption, which means to purchase or to buy back out of the agora, that is the Greek word for the marketplace, to purchase, to redeem, to buy back. And as a sign of the latter, Isaiah predicts the birth of a deliverer. Today we need the deliverer, one who speaks truth and who does not wield the sword of lies. Without understanding that though the lying one or those who lie really seem not to have the capacity to realize that at some point the lie will come back. Indeed, it is very interesting in the Hebrew language that the judgment or the sin carries its own judgment. And there are certain words in the Hebrew scripture, and their very suffix carries the reality of this truth. Now, this is very un-Western, because there are those in Western culture who believe that they can lie and never receive the results of their lying in their own character and in their own lives. Lies dissolves the person's soul. Lie paralyzes the liar so that his life is cut off. Now, it doesn't matter what elegant, psychoactive cocktail one is served in order to assuage his conscience, if there is any conscience left. It does not matter, because God is sovereign over all, and God sees to it that in his own time, in his own way, even those who play with dialectic and yet live within the world of two-valued logic are themselves made accountable to him. The scripture tells us that before him every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Lord. The Bible explains this. And please believe me that I am not saying that those who lie will understand this, because it is unlikely that they will understand this. In a book called Vanity Fair, Thackeray talks about those or individuals who had no backs to their heads. And it's really interesting. It's an interesting picture, because if the mask of their identity, or if their masks were removed, there would be nothing left, nothing there. It's a very powerful picture. The book of Isaiah abounds with messianic prophecies concerning the Messiah's person, work, and kingdom, especially in its millennial aspect. Isaiah predicts his virgin birth, chapter 7, verse 14, his deity and eternal kingdom, chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. His humanity, that is, a branch of the root of Jesse, chapter 11, verse 1. His righteous reign, chapter 11, verses 2 through 5, and his vicarious suffering and death, chapter 52, verse 13 to 53, verse 12, his vicarious suffering and death. In chapter 50 of Isaiah, beginning with verse 4, which reads, once again, "The Sovereign Lord, O Adonai Yahweh, has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary." In the Hebrew, it is literally the tongue of taught one. The tongue of taught one. So Isaiah is giving to us insight, or giving us insight into Yahweh's pedagogical method. That is, Yahweh's teaching method. And notice that Adonai Yahweh is himself the instructor. And the taught one is learning to understand the vital needs of person. He is being trained by Yahweh to understand the intrinsic needs of people. It is therefore very important that we are told what this one, that is the servant, is being taught. Isaiah brings to us a very wonderful message, and it is important for us to understand that even Isaiah's name means Yahweh is salvation. Yahweh is salvation, to save. Literally, the Savior is literally the one who rescues. And a New Testament picture for deliverer or Savior is that of one being pulled out of a burning building or dragged away for safety, dragged to safety out of a burning building. And so the message that this servant has been given by Adonai Yahweh is a message that is literally to those who are the hurt ones or the hurting ones. The word know in Hebrew is yada, yada. And it is a word that indicates an intimate awareness or an intimate knowledge. To know the word that sustains the weary, that is, the exhausted ones or those who are fatigued by stress. Lies fatigue the soul with stress. The HeartMath Institute is a wonderful enterprise, and they have published some extraordinary findings. And the HeartMath Institute has a paper. Well, let me say that their extraordinaries are remarkable with regard to the interaction that we have with one another as human beings. The electromagnetic field that we share with one another, and how the electromagnetic field from my brain can immediately understand, or can intuit, as it were, the electromagnetic field of what's going on with another individual. Extraordinary. Just think of what that means in our day when persons are lied to by those who literally do not care that they are lying. Look at the eyes. And we often say that the eyes are the windows to the soul. Look at the eyes. Look at the physiognomy. Look at the face. Look at the chin, the jawline. Look at the eyes. Look at the muscles that are engaged in the face. Look at, in other words, read the body language. Read the body language that cannot be hidden. Now, we go on. And so the instructed tongue of the servant is given to know the word that sustains the weary of those or the fatigued ones. We go on. He awakens me morning by morning, awakens my ear to listen like one being taught. And so this is a prophetic seminary, as it were. In verse 4, the exhausted ones are those who are exhausted with suffering and self-torture. And the word that is given to help with words him that is exhausted. To help with words him that is exhausted. Words can be used to lie to individuals. And then, but here is another word, the antithesis of the words of the liars that serve to wound, to disorient, to disrupt, and to create chaos within the soul. Here is a word of antithesis, not a word of dialectic that is given to confuse and to disorient and to wear out resilience. See, the dialectic, the word of dialectic is given to wear out or to wear down resilience or the ability to bounce back. And so it is believed that if one is lied to enough, then he or she will become crushed by the avalanche of lies to their undoing. But here, on the other hand, God provides the word of antithesis so that one is not crushed by the weight of an avalanche or a mountain of lies. The word of God is given to bring freedom to the heart. The word of antithesis is given to sustain him who is exhausted with words, words of truth, words of integrity and honor, words, the word of righteousness or rightness. One can have a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Through the aces, one can be right. There is a right way to live in spite of what is popularly said. There is a right way to live. There are right words. There are persons who seek to live in a right manner. There are persons who seek to live lives that are honorable. They are called the salt. They are called the light. They are called the city that is set upon a hill. They are not exploiters. They do not seek to exploit. They seek to build up and to live lives that are blessed by God Almighty, understanding that they are accountable to God. I want you to see some more things about this servant. and his character. He says in verse 5, that is, Adonai Yahweh says, the servant has, Adonai Yahweh has opened the ears of the servant, and he says, I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back. I offered my back to those who beat me and my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting because the sovereign Lord helps me. I will not be disgraced. Can you imagine someone saying these words today? We live in a day in which people are afflicted with the biblical definition of autism, because the Greek word for self is autos, A-U-T-O-S, or auto. And so, in the biblical sense, autism is to be afflicted by self-interest, a love of self. And here we have this radical picture of one who gave his life on behalf of others. He says, I have not been rebellious. This one is not engaged in autism, that is the love of self. And again, this autism has nothing to do with the poor afflicted ones who suffer a great deal in that area. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the biblical definition of autism, which is the love of self. This is beyond narcissism. This is extraordinary. The antithesis is the one who offered his back to those who beat him and those who pull out his beard. Very different picture you get in the Bible from paintings and from drawings of the way the servant looked at the hung on the cross. Different picture. Now, we return to Isaiah 52, verse 14, we read, just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. No one, no artist can capture this picture of this servant who was given to sustain the exhausted one with birth. He involved himself intrinsically in the human condition. He involved himself on a wonderful level for us. So today, please take this message with you of the servant, what he provided for us, what he gave to us, and understand that God's word of antithesis is there for our redemption. Bless you today. Take care, and I'll see you again next time on Pneumaticos. Have a wonderful day.